Our scripture reading this morning, our text for the message, is from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. I want to read down through verse 49. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, when his parents were coming home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, did you hear that? After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed. They were amazed at his understanding. They were amazed at his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Other translations say, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And as Jesus grew up, he increased in wisdom and in favor with God and the people. The word of God for the people of God. Have you ever lost track of one of your children for just even a little while? It's troubling, to say the least. It's more than troubling. It's terrifying. When I was 14, I ran away from home. Can you imagine that? When I was 14 years old, I ran away from home. Now, I grew up in a single-parent family. And my mom was beside herself when she could not locate me. And she got everybody looking for me. She had the police. She had the neighbors. She had all the relatives. And my preacher was, of course, recruited into looking for me. And he looked for me in the beer joints and the pool halls. He looked in the worst places where a kid could turn up. And, of course, I was not there. I had gotten on a westbound Trailways bus. But when I got cold enough, broke enough, hungry enough, and scared enough, I went to the police station and I turned myself in. My mama didn't raise no fool. And my Uncle A.C. Moore and his wife, my mother's sister, Ada Bell, and my mother got into Uncle A.C.'s car because my mother didn't own a car. We didn't have a car. And they drove the 60 miles into deepest, darkest West Virginia and picked me up. Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me?" 3 days they were searching for him. Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Now, I said a moment ago as I was reading the text that in the New International Version, it's translated, "I had to be in my father's house." In the King James Version, though, and in some other translations, It's translated, I had to be about my father's business. And in all of the newer translations in the footnote, even in the New International, it says down in the footnote, I had to be about my father's business. And the reason for the difference in the translation there is because in the original text, the word house is not there. But they found him in the temple. And whose house is the temple? God's. So it's kind of like it's implied that that's where he was at, even though the word isn't used. But there's a kind of an idiom there in the Greek. And I'm not pretending today to be a Greek scholar, because I am not. I had about a semester of Greek, and I got through it, okay? But I know enough to kind of wade through this just a little bit. There's an idiom there that really presents the idea that what Jesus was saying was, I had to be about my father's things, about my father's stuff. And so the best thought-for-thought translation after my semester of Greek, I think, and also from the reading I've done and the context, I think the best translation is, I had to be about my father's business. He said, why were you searching for me? Where else would I be? And Luke says they had no idea what he was talking about. Now, who was Jesus' earthly father? Joseph. Now, again, the scripture teaches he did not actually have a biological father. His mother was a virgin. He was born a virgin. Born of a virgin, excuse me. He was born of a virgin. But he wasn't talking about his dad, Joseph. That's not who he was talking about. He wasn't talking about his dad's business. What did Joseph do for a living, by the way? He was a carpenter. Do you think that Joseph included Jesus and his brothers in his family business? Yeah, he sure did. I have no doubt about that. It was just sort of a given that Jesus would grow up and he would have the same business, the same trade as his father, as well as his brothers did. But he wasn't talking about Joseph, was he? Who was he talking about? He was talking about God. Jesus' dad was a carpenter, but he wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about his father, God. Now, when my people were searching for me, I didn't think that I was about my father's business when I got on that Trailways bus. But was I? What business is God in? I'm going to ask you, if you would this morning, if you would take a Bible, get one of those pew Bibles there, or if you brought one, and look in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts in the New Testament, and then the book of Romans. And I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, and this is a real familiar passage of Scripture for many. And in verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, now look at this, if you have your Bible open, what does it say he did? He what? Justified. He justified. That's what the NIV says. Now I think you have the New Revised Standard, the Pew Bible there. And those he justified, what does it say? Okay, now mine says he glorified. What does the New Revised Standard say? Okay. What business is God in, according to what you just read? What's God's business? I look back there, and I see different ones of you, and I know you're in different businesses. John, you were a dentist, correct? That means your business was what?
teeth. You bet. Kevin, you were a soldier. That means your business was defense, sometimes offense too, but it was about defending our country, correct? And Tanya, you were a teacher. What was your business?
Education.
Education. And now, Chuck, you were a teacher too, but you also were in administration, right? So that's a little different layer, isn't it? So what was your business? Administration?
Taking care of the building and kids.
Taking care of the building, making sure everything was in place, got done, all that kind of stuff. What business is God in? God is in the business, according to Paul, according to what we just read from Romans chapter 8, God is in the business of working in everything to redeem humanity. Come on. God is in the business of working in how much?
Everything.
To redeem whom?
Us.
Who does that include? All of us. Does that include Obi? I'm making sure you don't go to sleep, Obi, okay? Sure it does. Yeah. And Paul says he started with Jesus. I love the way that Eugene Peterson writes what we just read in the Message. And let me read it to you. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Do you like that? He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there in him. When we look at Jesus, when we look at how Jesus lived, when we look at how Jesus responded, we are seeing, I love how he writes this, we are seeing the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. When you were little, did you ever have anybody ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you ask children today sometimes, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, do you know what the right answer for all of us is? We want to be Jesus. We want to be just like Jesus. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. What business is God in? He's in the business of growing his children. And he started with his son, Jesus. That's what the scriptures teach. I think it's interesting, even in the book of Hebrews, that it says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. So while Jesus was here in a human body, he was learning and he was growing. And when they came to Jesus and they said, why are you here? What are you doing? Why have you treated us this way? That's what Mary said. And that sounds like a mom, right? Why have you put me through this? Anybody's mom ever say that to them? And Jesus said, did you not know that I had to be working with my dad, learning my dad's business, cooperating with my father? Luke says that Jesus went home with them. But before he says that, Luke says, and this is from the Message,
And Jesus grew up. And Jesus grew up. He increased in wisdom and in favor with God and people. God wants all his children, I believe with all my heart, God wants all his children involved in the family business. Anybody here come from a family where you had a family business? Anybody? Okay. Tanya? Anybody else? You know what it means to have a family business. Anybody watch that TV show, Blue Bloods?
Yes.
Can I get a witness? I love Blue Bloods. My wife loves Tom Selleck. To this day, from the days of Magnum P.I., even now, she says, you know, he's really good looking. Oh, my goodness. I didn't ask permission to tell that story. Preachers should always ask their wives before they tell stories like that.
Yeah.
But in that TV show, how do they treat law enforcement in that family? It's treated as a what? Family business. They even refer to it in the show as the family business because they're all cops. Now, our family, I've got one son who's a preacher, and I've got one son who is a counselor. So I guess we kind of have a family business too. I don't know what you'd call it. But in that family, the family business is law enforcement. And I love the scenes where they sit around the table on Sunday afternoon, don't you? And there's a lot more that's discussed there than just law enforcement. There's a lot about life that is talked about around that table. But God wants all his children involved in the family business. And if we will be, intermittently throughout our story, the Holy Spirit will write, just like Luke wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit will write, and Dave grew up. I mean, that's not all he'll write. He'll also write, and Kevin grew up. Come on. And he'll say, Arthur grew up. Because that is the business that God is in. Growing us up. And God wants all of us to be involved in the family business. And if we will be, it allows the Holy Spirit to grow us up. Because that is the family business. He wants us to join with him in that. Well, how does it work? What does it look like to join God in the family business? We read about it this morning in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This morning, June read from the Word of God, Colossians 3, 1 through 12. And in that particular part of the scripture, we're taught to do some stuff. And there's some language that's used. There's some metaphoric language that's used. He says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and there's another word that I've written in my notes that I can't read, but he wants us to clothe ourselves with it. Patience. That's the word. And we do that by forgiving and by bearing with one another and loving one another. That's how we get into the family business and get busy, get working with God. Now, it's not just us, it's God too. He's doing this. He's, like Eugene Peterson translated, he's made us right with himself through the blood of Christ. When I held that cup up a few minutes ago and I said, I quoted Jesus, he said, this cup represents, and it represents my blood. I did not say this, but it's part of what Jesus said. He said, which is poured out for the remission of sins for many. We've been forgiven. God says, I forgive you. And he sent Christ to let us know that we're forgiven, to let us know that he loves us and he accepts us and that there's not anything for us to do that will accomplish anything that will make him love us more than he already loves us. But he really does want us to become part of the family business. And the family business is us becoming who he created us to be. And so we enter the business with him, like Jesus did, by learning, by listening, by engaging, by being in relationships. That's what the church is, by the way. It's relationships. And when we are in relationships, whether it's in business or whether it's in school or whether it's in church, there's this friction that goes on. We rub up against one another, right? And has anybody ever rubbed you the wrong way at church? Come on now. Of course. How do we learn to be like Jesus? By accepting people who are different. By accepting people who are not as compassionate as we are, who have some things in their lives they need to get rid of. And that's what the first part of Colossians chapter 3 is about, the stuff that God wants to get out of our lives. And then there are these things that we put on, but we learn to put them on. We learn for them to become a part of our character, as a part of who we are, as we choose to continue on with people, to forgive them, to bear with them. That doesn't mean we don't set boundaries. Of course we set boundaries. But it's important that we learn to set even boundaries, when we set boundaries that are permeable, so that love is able to continue. Clothe yourself with this stuff. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts by being thankful, he says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Teach and admonish one another. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm teaching you. I'm admonishing you. But it's not just when the preacher gets up do we teach and admonish one another. This morning you all had Sunday school class. There was teaching and admonishing going on, right? But it's not just in Sunday school. When we get together in the kitchen this afternoon, could there be some teaching and admonishing going on? Well, I don't know if it'll be structured, but maybe by God's grace I'll learn more about cooking beans tomorrow. Although I don't think that's what really matters, is it? Maybe what matters is how to go about loving people and getting busy cooking beans to feed folks in the community might be one way that we learn to love better. Because somebody might not cook beans just like I think they ought to be cooked. Come on. So we got to figure all that kind of stuff out. What business is God in? Is he in the bean business? No. He's in the growing his children business. But are beans a part of growing his kids right now? Sure. Was my getting on that westbound bus, that Trailways, was God able to use that in growing me? Of course he was able to. He was able to use it powerfully. He grew my mother, I'll guarantee you that. And us coming together, singing. Wasn't that wonderful to sing this morning? Do you enjoy our songs? You know, I took choir in college. It was required. I went to a little Bible college in Bluefield, West Virginia. And I wanted to be a preacher. And so I went to this Bible college. And they felt like preachers ought to be able to lead singing. Does that make sense? Well, they failed abysmally with me. I'm not a good song leader. But they required us all to take choir. Everybody got an A except me. I'm the only one that got a B. And my professor used to give me a hard time. He said, "Mr. McVeigh, you have a beautiful voice. You just can't control it." That's true of a lot of stuff in my life. But I love to sing. Now, part of it wasn't because, most of it wasn't because I sang so poorly. It was because I didn't do everything the professor asked me to do. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Poor Glenn Tate, poor Dr. Tate. I'm not going to put all that on him. But I love to sing, and there's something beautiful and wonderful about singing, and there's something that God does through our singing together and through every part of our liturgy. And it's wonderful, our praying together, our passing the peace, as we call it. And so we're taught that that's part of joining God in his business. Now, I want to kind of wrap up this morning with Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read all of that because I think you're very familiar with the story. And
in the lectionary. That's the passage of Scripture for today. You mentioned we were a week behind now. But I'm going to catch us up immediately. With the lectionary, today is Epiphany, and we celebrate the wise men coming to Jesus, finding Jesus. And it was quite an adventure, wasn't it? How did they know how to look for Jesus, to search for Jesus? Again, they're searching, right? What helped them? The star. They saw the star. And they followed the star. But then at some point, it seems, the star, what happened? They lost sight of it. I don't know if it got cloudy or what, but they couldn't see it anymore. So they got a little bit bewildered. Have you ever experienced that in your relationship with God? See, what we're talking about is finding God's will for us. We're talking about joining God in His business. We're talking about becoming who God created us to be. We're talking about joining God in redeeming humanity and redeeming creation. And they're doing that. These wise men, they weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles. But they were following the star that God had revealed to them would lead them to the Christ. When we think about the Christ, we're thinking about Jesus, but we're also thinking about who Jesus becomes in each of us. The Christ fills us. His life becomes who else's life? My life. The life He lived becomes the kind of life I live. But they kept pursuing it. They kept following it, even though it disappeared for a time. They didn't give up. How long does it say that Mary and Joseph searched for Jesus when He disappeared? 3 days. After He was crucified. Do you remember after He was crucified? How long were His disciples without Him? 3 days. Do you think those two stories have anything to do with one another? Do you think Luke is, like Jim said in his sermon a couple of weeks ago, foreshadowing something about what was to come? Absolutely. And here these guys are searching, but they don't give up. They keep looking up, and even though they get waylaid for a while, the star reappears, and they follow the star. They keep following the star. And I love the way that Matthew finishes the story. He says, they found Jesus, and opening their treasure chests, they offered Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Are you a treasure chest? Are you a treasure chest? God thinks you are. And He's working to bring all of the beauty that He intended for you to display for His glory into the full view of the world and all of the spirits and all of the angels and all of whatever is, wherever it is. What is God's business? How do we join God in His business? How do we work with our daddy? Well, I've tried to share a little bit of it this morning with you.
And donkeys and
by God's grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of Jesus. Engage all that you are and all that you have in the business of the Father, becoming who He created us to be and helping all that we encounter along the way to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.